Support for this podcast comes from Is Business Broken, a podcast from Questrom School of Business. Stick around until the end of this podcast for a preview of the first episode, a conversation with Dean Susan Fournier, where she answers the question at the heart of the show. Support for The Common comes from Davis Malm. Their tax attorneys take the time to understand your unique goals and find the most cost-effective ways to accomplish them, distilling complex tax laws down to clear choices so you can make the best decisions. DavisMalm.com, DavisMalm.com.
Hey, it's Daryl C. Murphy, and I just want to talk to you real quick. The Common is produced at WBUR in Boston. We're public media. We don't have paywalls, which means we don't ask you to pay to see our work. We say, here's some powerful stories for free. And then, if some of those stories you read or listen to are important to you and you talk about it with your friends and family, and you even see the world a little differently, then we ask you to support it. Because we want to continue making work that is meaningful to you. And right now, I want to let you know what's happening at WBUR. Our radio shows, our podcasts are getting some of the biggest audiences we've ever had. Our journalism is winning awards, reaching new and more diverse audiences. And you are a big part of that. Our journalism has never been stronger, but the business has never been harder. We've had a big loss of sponsorship dollars, like a lot of media companies have in recent years. But one thing we've always been pretty good at is getting support from our listeners to make the things they love. So we're asking right now, in a crucial moment for WBUR, can you help us get through this by joining other listeners in supporting WBUR? We need your help to keep making the podcast you're listening to right now, along with everything else that comes from WBUR. Your help would mean a lot to me and to all of my colleagues. So please, head to our website, WBUR.org. Thanks.
WBUR Podcasts, Boston.
I'm Daryl C. Murphy, and you're listening to The Common. I might be messing around here with the public radio gods, but would textiles include tote bags?
Yes, but not WBUR
yes,
tote bags.
Not the WBUR tote bags. Those are heirlooms. You want to keep those.
Exactly.
I'm here with WBUR climate and environment correspondent Barbara Moran, and we are getting into some serious trash talk. That's because the state recently made some changes to its waste disposal ban that further limits how much food can be wasted and also prohibits mattresses and textiles from going into the trash. So we got Barbara to come through and tell us what that all means. Barb, I'm so excited to have you on.
I am excited too. And this is a great conversation to have in the new year when we're maybe cleaning out our apartments or houses and wondering what to do with all this stuff and maybe making New Year's resolutions to, you know, be less wasteful.
Yeah. Well, first, let's let people know that this expanded waste ban went into effect in November.
Correct.
But, you know, a lot has happened since then, especially with us coming back from, you know, our holiday breaks and whatnot. So for those who need a refresher, tell us, what can we no longer throw away?
So for a long time, the state has already had some bans on certain things in the trash, right? Like you're not allowed to throw asphalt and lead acid batteries and bricks and glass and paper. You're not supposed to throw that stuff in the trash already. Mm-hmm. So then what happened in November was they expanded the list of forbidden trash items. So starting in November, you could no longer throw away mattresses, which you said, textiles. And textiles is this huge list of things. And the other thing that's banned now is like large-scale commercial food waste. So any restaurant or hospital or school that creates more than a half ton of food waste a week can no longer throw that into a landfill or an incinerator. They have to find something else to do with it.
And just so folks know what we're talking about, what exactly are textiles?
Oh my God, textiles are like everything. So it's clothes, like you'd think, curtains, pocketbooks, backpacks, belts, sneakers, pillows, all that kind of stuff. So, I mean, it's this huge, huge list. They have the whole list online that you can look at, but it's a lot of things.
What happens if I accidentally throw something away that I shouldn't have? Will I be fined, or, you know, what does enforcement look like?
Yes, great question. So this is not about the trash police coming after individuals. So, Daryl, if you want to sneak your old socks into the garbage, nobody's going to come after you, although you shouldn't do that. What this is targeted at is sort of the big ticket things, right? So for food waste, you know, it's about big producers like big restaurants and hospitals. For mattresses, they're going to be looking at hotels that are swapping out all their mattresses, things like that. So the way that they enforce it, and one of the criticisms of these waste rules is that they're not as well enforced as they can be. But the way that the state enforces them is that they do spot checks at landfills and at incinerators when the trucks come in and dump stuff. So if a truck comes in and it's like full of mattresses, they go like, no. You know, these aren't supposed to be here. Where did you get these anyway? And then they can fine the hauler, right? So they can fine the truck drivers or the truck company, or they can sort of trace it back to whoever dumped them in the first place. And those people can get fined.
How exactly do we get rid of these things? I mean, I know that a lot of this is for businesses, but if I have a mattress or something like that, what should I do if I'm trying to get rid of an old mattress?
Yeah. So this is actually a great sort of benefit for us that came out of all this. So what the state did, and I think they actually did this pretty smart, was before they enacted these bans, they made sure that there was enough places for all this stuff to go, right? So they made sure that there were companies in the state that could recycle mattresses. And they made sure that there were people and organizations that would wanted old textiles and wanted food scraps, right? So now textile recycling is like really easy to do in the state. So I did this myself like last month. So I have two teenage boys and they just go through clothes like anything. Like somehow they get all their socks ripped up and they get their t-shirts all stained and super gross. And it's like, you don't want to give that stuff to Goodwill because it seems gross, right?
Yeah.
So what I did was I just went online. Do-do-do-do-do-do.
I love the sound of going online.
That's my sign. You know, I live in Brookline, so I looked up Brookline Textile Recycling, and there's this company that does it. And I typed in a time and a day, and I put it out in a bag, and they came and got it.
What?
It was amazing. It was like super easy and free, and I felt way better about it than shoving it into the trash or whatever. The state has links for all this kind of stuff. They set it up really easy. The same thing with mattresses. Now that the company who sells you the mattress should just take the old one and bring it for recycling, or your town should be able to pick it up. It's not really a hardship on people, or it shouldn't be anyway.
So if I use that service to get rid of, say, my old t-shirts and socks and stuff, what do they do with them?
Oh, that's a great question. I know. It's like people actually want this stuff. I can't believe it. So, you know, if it's decent stuff, they will sort that out and give it to Goodwill or church organizations like that. Some stuff will be made into like shop rags or cleaning rags, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Some of it is shredded up and used for fill in things. So apparently
mattresses.
There is a lot of, the mattresses. So this is so interesting. Like apparently like 75% of mattresses get recycled. There's this whole industry of taking mattresses apart and they recycle the wood and the metal and the fabric separately. So
that's great.
I don't know. It is great.
Okay, Barb, we understand that recycling is a good thing, but I'm just one person. I'm not some huge business, right? Why do I need to go through all of this just to get rid of some old clothes?
Exactly. Like, why bother, right? Why should anybody care? So in Massachusetts, most of our landfills are filled up. So almost all of our waste goes to incinerators. So these incinerators burn stuff and then they make that into energy, which seems okay. But there's a couple issues with the incinerators. They do a lot of the chemicals and stuff that are in the waste end up getting out into the atmosphere, right? And then you're left with all this kind of toxic ash that has to go somewhere. Oof. And all of the incinerators are, or most of them are in environmental justice neighborhoods, which are these neighborhoods that are already bearing the burden of pollution. So incinerators are not great. Landfills are not great. So the less that we can send to these places, the better, right? It's not a great option for public health or for the climate.
We're going to take a quick break, but we'll be right back with more from Barbara.
Support for this podcast comes from Is Business Broken?, a podcast from Questrom School of Business. These days, it's hard to ignore the debate over the role business should play in society.
There's crescendo around profit, period. Is profit bad? Is capitalism evil? These themes are out there.
Is this criticism of business warranted? And if so, how do we fix it? Stick around until the end of this podcast for a preview of the first episode of the Is Business Broken podcast.
Politics has never been stranger or more online, which is why the politics team at Wired is making a new show, Wired Politics Lab. It's all about how to navigate the endless stream of news and information and what to look out for. Each week on the show, we'll dig into far-right platforms, AI chatbots, influencer campaigns, and so much more. Wired Politics Lab launches Thursday, April 11th. Follow the show wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back.
You know what? One other thing we forgot to talk about is, like, why does the state do this in the first place? You know, like, why bother recycling all the stuff? It's interesting because this is actually part of the state's climate plan, right? So in Massachusetts, we dump about 5.5 million tons of waste every year. They want to get that down to 4 million, so reduce it by about 30% by 2030. So that's coming up. And that's because sending all this stuff to landfills, it takes energy to, like, put it in trucks. You got to drive it places. You got to put it in the incinerator. You got to burn it. You know, it's just a lot of energy to do that. And I have to say, I did talk to a bunch of people when this ban went up, and there was this one woman who is an activist from MassPERG, which is the public interest research group. Her name was Janet Dominitz. And she said that even though a lot of these bans are sort of targeted at big companies and big restaurants and hospitals, they can really maybe help us, help you and me sort of think differently about throwing stuff away and maybe do less of that.
We know what to do. We don't have to invent anything. We don't even have to spend a lot of money. We just need to commit to a society that moves away from even using the term throw away.
That kind of stuck with me in my head. You know what I mean? I was like, you know what? She's right. We don't need to throw all this stuff away. It can go to a better use.
Now, there's another aspect of this that I found interesting. According to the state, since the original food waste ban went into effect in 2014, hundreds of new jobs have been created, and the state GDP has increased by $77 million. Can you talk about this new industry and how it came to be?
Yeah, this is super interesting. So there's been some of this industry in New England, but not that much because there hasn't really been enough raw material, right? Like, it's sort of a chicken and egg thing. Like, people are like, well, I don't really want to start a composting business because I don't know if there's going to be enough old banana peels around to keep it going, right? So the state, by sort of doing these commercial waste bans and saying, okay, well, we can guarantee that these larger companies and now sort of smaller ones are going to be producing this stream of coffee grounds and banana peels. And that has allowed these companies to say, okay, well, we'll invest and we will start composting companies and we'll start these anaerobic digester companies. So it's kind of a new industry that's being built up and a sort of a clean and green one, which is pretty good, you know?
Understood. So tell us, what are some of the other resources that are available to help us be greener? Like, where can I get started?
So the first thing is, when you are cleaning out your closet and you're putting away all those new clothes that you got for the holidays, and, you know, you're cleaning out your kids' stuff and you're cleaning out your stuff and you're going to put it in a bag, don't throw it away. The first thing you do is just go online. I swear to just Google your town and textile recycling and then figure out a better thing to do with that. The state also has a website that is really easy to use that lists all kinds of resources for recycling, not just textiles, but all kinds of random stuff. And food waste actually makes up the biggest part of our waste stream, which is sort of sad. Here's a little tip I learned when writing about food waste is I would say once a week, take all the random leftovers in your fridge and make them into something different instead of throwing them away. To call it the food waste feast or fending. So my family does this once a week is we're like, okay, tonight we're fending and we go in the fridge. And like last week I had all these kind of old sausages and I just made them into an omelet with some of this old spinach and some eggs. And it was fine. And everybody ate it. The food was fine and it was good and healthy and I didn't throw a bunch of food away. I think this is something that everybody can really get behind. That's a good New Year's resolution. You know, throw less stuff away, eat some more of your garbage.
Barbara, I just want to say I love the energy that you bring to these discussions. I could tell that this is something you're really passionate about and it brings you joy and you transferred that to us. So I just want to say thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us. We really appreciate it.
Well, I'm so happy that you're interested in talking about garbage with me. I mean, that's like something we can all relate to, right?
Oh, yeah. I love talking about garbage. Love a little trash talk. Love it. That's WBUR climate and environment correspondent Barbara Moran. You can learn more about where to recycle your old textiles and other items at mass.gov/recycling-reuse. And that's our show for today. Thank you so much for listening to The Common. Please hit us up on Instagram or Twitter at WBURTheCommon or send us an email at thecommon@wbur.org. We would absolutely love to hear from you. And with all that said, I'm Daryl C. Murphy, and I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Support for this podcast comes from Is Business Broken, a podcast from Questrom School of Business. Listen on for a preview of one of the episodes featuring Susan Fournier, Alan Questrom Professor, and Dean.
So let's start this conversation with the title of the show, Is Business Broken? It's a provocative title and a question. Where did this come from? Why that question now?
We're in a big cultural moment where capitalism, business, market systems are really being scrutinized and debated and the role of business with it. So I think the question is just on the table. It's on people's minds. It's in the news media. It's in conversations. I think there are growing voices, loud voices, especially among young people who seem increasingly to believe that business and maybe capitalism with it are harmful and create rather than solve problems for society. And what we do seem to hear are those loud voices, and they are very black and white. There are protagonists and the antagonists and the pros and the cons, and there's really no middle discussion. It's sort of like people for and against, and it's loud.
Right. For and against DEI, for instance, right? A battle at play.
Right.
The way you describe it and the way you describe the polarization, it makes it feel like very much of the digital age, right? It feels very much of today. Some of those arguments have been around, though, right? Is this criticism of business and this question, is business broken, is that a new question?
You are so right. It is not a new question. Schumpeter, he was a professor at Harvard, and he's also maybe one of the most influential political economists of the early 20th century. He called for the death of capitalism, the death of business, 100 years ago. Okay.
Wow.
And when he critiqued way back then, he said the very successes of capitalism would bring about its downfall because it would create values hostile to capitalism, and that this would particularly take hold among intellectuals who were critiquing. So there's a lot of that same kind of dynamic happening today, and that's 100 years old. But yeah, we've seen this kind of cultural fervor playbook many times in the past, often precipitated by big crises.
Find the full episode by searching for Is Business Broken wherever you listen to podcasts, and learn more about the Mehrotra Institute for Business, Markets, and Society at ibms.bu.edu.